The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks for joining us once again on God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, and today we're joined by Father Francis Walsh, who is a retired priest of the Diocese of Cleveland now, living now with your sister in Bay Village, beautiful community.
Right.
But you were ordained a long, long time ago. God bless you for your ministry.
Yeah, 66 years. So
1957.
57, right.
And you had a big class.
Right.
How many priests were ordained?
There are 25 diocesan and two Benedictines in our group. There's four of us left.
Okay.
Yeah.
66 years. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Tell me about growing up. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rocky River, St. Christopher's, a very small parish in those days.
Boy, that's changed.
Yeah. We had one bus every hour. So okay. We had to walk to the streetcar across the bridge to get anywhere, really. It was a fairly close-knit parish. We lived about 3-4 doors away, so we had no excuse for not being on time for school, which we weren't, but for being in the parish. It was a very, very nice place. On our street alone, there were four priests.
Oh, boy.
Two in one house, Tessies. Mike Schneid was up the street, and then myself. It was sort of an unusual situation. In my eighth grade class, there were five of us who entered the priesthood and one nun. You know, out of 36 kids, that was a lot.
That's fertile ground for vocations.
Really, it was. In just 10, 15 years, we had 18 vocations.
Wow.
From various. I had a classmate who is a Dominican. He just died a year ago. It was sort of the thing. You know, mm-hmm. Didn't think, well, that's the way it is.
But yeah.
I think a lot of it had to do with a couple of young priests we had, and the parish around us was pretty Catholic.
Supportive.
And I remember during World War II, you know, we had blackouts and rationing, but there was a block rosary, and the people in the area would come to each other's house every week and say the rosary together for peace in the world. So it was a unique place.
Yeah.
It was nice.
In your family, daily prayer or weekly?
Well, we said the rosary before we went to bed, whether we liked it or not. And my mother went to Mass every day. She was born in Ireland, and a couple of her brothers and sisters were in Cleveland also. My dad, not so much so. He thought I should be a baseball player, and my mother was thrilled when I wanted to go into seminary. So mm-hmm. They've been very supportive, my whole family. My sister has six kids and 20 so grandkids and great-grandkids. So family support has been a great thing in my life. And I think I've benefited from all the weddings, baptisms, funerals that we do because my cousin had six, my sister had six, and so there's
a big family. Yeah.
And
where'd you go after St. Chris?
St. Ignatius.
Okay.
One of our eighth grade nun was sort of pushing that, telling us, take, because Rocky River High School was directly across the street.
Right.
So my mother said, well, if you go, you have to pay your own tuition. We can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So a paper route could do it in those days. But I went to Ignatius and went 2 years to John Carroll. Took pre-seminary course while I was there because I was intending to go in, but we delayed it a year or two. And then Mount St. Mary's in Cincinnati for 2 years, a great place, and then back up here to Ansel Road.
Was there a specific moment when you decided, or was it always a part of your fiber?
It's hard for me to answer that. It was sort of there. I thought about being a Maryknoll. We used to get the Maryknoll magazine. I actually wrote them a letter, you know, and they wrote back. I think the parish appealed to me because I'd seen what the younger priests do and how they were good about fostering vocations.
Yeah, it sounds it.
Yeah. Father Tom McGovern, the older Tom, we had a younger Tom around my time. He got a lot of guys to think about it. And so you know, it seemed to be the thing to do. It was okay.
Do you think that happens as much today? Because sometimes parents are, well, I want to have grandkids, right?
I think people were thrilled, you know, with us thinking about being a priest. Now, with all the clergy abuse and all that, people are leery about having their kid be in a situation where he may be criticized. Obviously, we're not as well received out there today, but you got to live with it. You know, you got to do your thing. And, you know, some of my friends wouldn't wear their collar if they went out somewhere. And one of my classmates, Father Ed Mihawk, said, the heck with them, I'm wearing it, you know. So I felt that way, too. You know, if somebody doesn't like it, well, that's their trouble. You know, it's not mine.
Well, even wearing the collar is a bit of evangelization in a way.
Right. You still get strange looks these days, you know.
No kidding. Well, Father, if you stay right there, we'll be back after these messages on God Calling right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Francis Walsh joining us, retired priest of the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Father, when you got out of the seminary, where'd you go first?
6 months at St. Paul's Shrine, 40th in Euclid, sort of a surprise. They didn't have room for me where they really wanted to send me with St. William in Euclid. They had to wait till the priest there went to Louvain for Father Best for studies. That was the only room they had, so I had to wait 6 months. I didn't know that. So 6 months there. Heard a lot of confessions, learned a lot in 6 months, and then went to St. William for 4.5.
Now, the shrine is where Mother Angelica got started.
Right, right.
Did you ever meet her? Did you ever meet her?
I am not sure. I don't believe so. There was not a lot of back and forth.
That's right. They were cloistered,
yeah,
right?
They were very much behind the screen.
Mm-hmm.
In 6 months, I wouldn't have a lot of. I had to give them communion through a little drop in the wall. But they were great. I mean, they're great prayers and
they sing like angels.
Yeah, they do.
St. William for how long?
St. William for 4.5 years. Okay. I was the founding pastor, John Fleming, a little bit on the strict side. But there were two. I was one associate, and Jim Whalen was the other, and he was a very good guy to be with, a very spiritual man. It was a young parish. They were still building houses in Euclid in that time, and we had 1,500 kids in school. It was a good place.
At the heart of the baby boom.
Yeah.
How did you enjoy that, being with so many children, and how do you give them an example that maybe one of them might want a vocation?
No matter where I went, it seemed I got to be the jock priest, you know, take care of the sports and the youth group and all that. So I still see people from, I'm into Hibernians, and one of the Hibernians there is, and his wife were both parishioners. And so I still have friends all the way back. It was a very active parish. We played a men's set of softball team. I played on that.
Sure.
And did stuff.
Well, you know, sports are great teachers from the standpoint of sportsmanship, fairness.
Right.
And competition. Nothing wrong with competition.
And I think it's good. It's good for young people, as long as it's not taken too far. You know?
In today's world.
Yeah, right. It's a little more.
Where'd you go after that?
St. Charles in Parma.
Another big parish.
Yeah, it was the biggest then. We had 2,500 students in school. It was unbelievable. But you got to know people fairly good, you know, the people that were active like everywhere else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great rectory to live in. The founding pastor was there, Monsignor Monahan. He treated us very well. I mean, we had to do the work. You know, he was 80 years old.
Sure.
And we had a Parma Hospital also. And then taught in the school, went to the games, and heard a lot of confessions.
I bet. Parish that big?
You had to push your way into the confessional in those days. And the Jesuit tertians were at the Jesuit retreat house, they call it now, but was a tertianship. It's their last, after they're ordained, they do one more year of novitiate. There were maybe 10, 15 at Jesuits. So they would all come over and help us with confessions and whatever else with Mass. Father Gene Kane was one of our regular guys. He was editor of the Universe Bulletin.
Oh, right.
The Benedictines helped us out. In that aspect, we got along well. The priest, it was a happy house. And it sort of was determining in my mind what kind of place I want to have when I'm pastor.
Right.
Try to make it a hospitable place where people feel that it's their home.
Well, it reflects that when everybody's getting along. People feel it.
It's
people
a lot easier to work and do stuff.
Yep.
You know?
Where'd you go next?
Willoughby, Immaculate Conception, Senior McMahon, a character in his own right. But, he was good. He was good enough. I was there with Father Tom Mahoney. It was during the beginning of the 60s, the Vietnam, and there was a lot of turmoil about that. We were burying guys that died in Vietnam.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
That happened there and at St. Charles, too. It was a nice place. Before I left St. Charles, a classmate of mine from Ignatius went to the pastor and said, could Father Walsh go on a cursillo? I had been resisting doing anything like that. So he said, yeah, you can go. So the cursillo was and other renewal programs after it, Christ Renews His Parish, Renew, all I think were good in helping people to get familiar, lay people, to have a spiritual life, to become more involved in the parish. And what I enjoyed about it was just doing priest stuff, say Mass, hear confessions, talk with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good thing for me.
Programs like that are more important than ever now because there aren't, you know, some parishes have maybe four priests living in the rectory, and that doesn't happen anymore.
We don't have that. I admire these young priests.
Two parishes.
I mean, where I just moved out of Jerome's, you know, gave him another parish. It does take a bit.
Yeah.
After that, I went to John Bosco for 3 years with Ed Tully, former Navy chaplain. Had rather interesting language at times, but he was a great pastor, great priest.
We'll pick it up when we come back after these messages on God Calling with Father Francis Walsh. Stay with us. Our guest on God Calling this week is Father Francis Walsh. Thank you for joining us. Father, eventually you moved up to be a pastor and hopefully had the opportunity to be the type of pastor that that you wanted to be.
Well, I don't know about that. it was good. Yeah, it was...
St. Luke's?
St. Jerome.
Oh, St. Jerome first.
St. Jerome was the place that I went first as pastor in 1976. The pastor was ill, so they didn't ask him to move. Yeah, but he died 3 weeks after I got there. So I didn't have much time to absorb what he knew.
Sure.
Yeah, I was there 16 years. The busing came in the year after I got there. The judge who was behind it lived in Brattonall, and he would come to our place
judge
for Mass
Battisti.
With a bodyguard.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But anyhow, we had a fairly good sized school. We had about 450 kids. Brattonall had their own schools, so when they closed, they were supposed to go to public school.
Okay.
So I got into a little bit of a difficulty because I accepted, I said they're parishioners, first of all. So I accepted some of those kids into St. Jerome. But I was called on it a couple times. But I mean, it worked out okay. But it was a difficult time for people. It sort of started people moving.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah.
And we worked hard to, you know, to be in the middle, to be peaceable, to discourage blockbusting. Obviously, we weren't too successful, but we tried to make it still a good place to live. And it really is.
Mm-hmm. You know, the young men coming out of the seminary these days, maybe they've got 5 years under their belt and they're a pastor, and you probably had 20.
You're right.
By the time you were a priest. You have to admire them, but they've got to absorb a great deal very fast. Probably not with as many role models along the way.
Right. They don't have like a senior associate to say, well, here's what we do. Yeah, we used to help the pastor with some of the book work or, you know.
Sure.
And he would teach us. They don't have that.
No.
So they are at a disadvantage. And I know that they have all this much more desk work, you know, to do from the diocese.
Administration.
Than we had to do. But I admire them. I think some of the guys I know are doing a good job. Hope they don't wear out.
Yeah. That's we'll pray for them, I think, is all I can do. But I'm very impressed by them. We've had a bunch of the new guys on. I'm very impressed with their deep
faith.
They
seem to be solid spiritually.
Something I observed, and you've talked about a couple of these, during the war, people would come to pray the rosary in your neighborhood. There's the Seven Sorrows of Mary on the wall down at the cathedral, and the wives of the soldiers during World War II would come and pray there.
Yeah.
And any time that something bad, it was 9/11, I was still working at that time in the news, and the first thing we would say, well, let's go to the cathedral because people will be showing up.
Yeah.
But sometimes it takes that sort of thing to bring people back to where they should be every day.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
that was good.
It's not always their first instinct, I guess, is faith.
Yeah. But we still need it, that's for sure.
Now, you were at St. Luke's for a long time.
21 years, yeah.
Not far from where you grew up, or where the parish of St. Rose.
Well, previous pastor there, Bob Jenkins, died rather suddenly. You know, it's 10 minutes from where my mother was still living. Mm. She died at 102.
God bless her.
But she was still living in Rocky River in our house. So that gave me access to helping out because both brother and sister were out of town. So that I was able to add on to her house a room and a bathroom. And so she was able to stay home.
That's great.
Yeah. But St. Luke's was a great place. You know, I felt pretty much at home because I'd played baseball in Lakewood and ice skated at Winterhurst in Lakewood. And so I felt pretty much there and able to help out with my brother as much as possible.
We were talking to one of the pastors. I can't remember if it was St. Luke's or St. Mark's from Lakewood. And he's got basically, there's been a lot of churn, a lot of And he's got a lot of young families now.
Yeah,
some of the older folks.
I'm amazed, yeah.
And that's so good to see.
It is, because, towards the end of my time there, it was funerals and not many baptisms, And it is healthy. We went through the merger of our schools, and that has turned out to be very good, Lakewood Catholic Academy.
Yes.
And the clustering, not so much. That was a contentious time.
Yes, it was.
Difficult time, because a lot of it depended on the way how the buildings had been taken care of.
Yes.
That was a big item on some of the decisions the bishop made at that time. And you couldn't really blame him for some of those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say he was always very positive with us, with me, and with our group. So
my wife and I became pretty good friends with Bishop Lennon. He was sent here. He had a job to do, and he was told to do it and take orders from the top, right?
Yeah.
Father, you had an interesting life, that's for sure. Priest since 1957,
right.
66 yes, years, yeah. And here's prayers for many, many more.
I have a lot of nephews and nieces, and wherever we go for a baptism, or go away for a wedding or whatever, they said, oh, yeah, Uncle, he's have mass, will travel.
So that's you, huh?
I'd say the next day after the whatever, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. You come to my room, we'll have mass.
Perfect. Father, thanks very much for joining us. Father Francis Walsh, right here on God Calling. Join us each and every week at this very same time.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.